Thanks for joining us on Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we are going to start the show today by hearing stories about the folks of Wisconsin, what they're up to this summer, all over the state, with our guest Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. Mike's going to tell us stories about a crazy, silly marching band that I've seen and heard many times, and I chuckle every time. We'll talk about pickling, we'll talk about sleeping in a World War II plane, and a whole lot more. And as we listen to Mike talk, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a story for Our Wisconsin magazine. Or you could share what you enjoyed reading in the last issue, or maybe you have an event you want to talk about that's going on in your part of the state. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike Beno, always good to have you back. Thanks for joining in.
Hey, Larry, thanks so much for the invitation. It's always a lot of fun to not only talk with you, but the listeners that call in. As you've mentioned, we've gleaned more than a few story tips from folks who call in and let us know what's going on in their corner of Wisconsin. Great place to live. Unusual things are happening.
Yeah, there sure are. You know, I as always, I go through the entire magazine, and right away on the inside flap of this issue is a really beautiful picture of a lighthouse. And even though we're not a state that borders the ocean, you're right, we have plenty of lighthouses in our state. Maybe you can give us some examples of a few notable ones.
Yeah, it really is. I'm glad you started with this. It's a photo by Rob Resnick of Oshkosh. And when you think of lighthouses in Wisconsin, my mind goes to Door County right away, because that county has more lighthouses, 10 of them, than any other county in the nation. This one is it's beautiful. It's Wind Point Lighthouse near Racine. And that particular compound of buildings also is the municipal buildings for the village of Wind Point. A police department, a village hall. So that's got to be about the most unusual municipal building in the state, I would say.
It's so.
And you know, it's beautiful. It's the tallest lighthouse in the state, and it was built in 1880. And it was first lit then, and remains lit to this day. And this is part of just the very unique nautical maritime heritage of a Midwestern state right in the middle of flyover country, you know, for the coast people. Well, we're a little bit more special than that. When you've got, 600 miles of the Lake Michigan shoreline and another 100 on Lake Superior, this was a place where it was highways and byways for commerce, travel,
sure,
with all the shipwrecks, the rivers as well. They're right near you in Lake Mendota. They're finding the old freighter canoes that the Indian tribes had. So we had a lot of travel around here, maybe much more so than the old wagon rutted trails heading out west. A lot of that went on. So back to the lighthouses, I mean, we've got, like I said, 11 in Door County. There's nearly 50 here in the state, and as I mentioned, some of them are still lit. The one at Wind Point, you can climb the 144 spiral stairs to get up there and take a look. There's a very small charge for that. Private group climbs can be arranged. So windpointlighthouse.org, give it a look for some cool history, and you can go on out and see it.
That's a great photo. I wondered if he used a drone for that, or did he?
Yeah, and you know, he surely did. The drone photography that we're seeing more and more is really a treat, because, you know, anybody who's done photography on the ground, you work hard to get a vantage point, and sometimes you can't get the shot as wide as you want. And just taking that angle from above can change the completely change it. And that's pointed out well. One other example of this, and this was in the center of the magazine, we have a three-page panoramic picture, and there was a picture of some Amishmen near Cashton working in their hay field with a pair of workhorses, and this was, I think, by the same photographer. These guys are down there, and I was talking to another Amishman, this one from Kennan. He knows quite a few of the people in that community around the state. He said, I know those guys. I know that team of horses. And if you look, one horse is looking over his shoulder up at that drone. I didn't even pick that up, but the Amishman did. It's fun to see that kind of work coming through now.
Yeah, it is indeed. It's a beautiful, some beautiful photography there. Airbnbs are getting very popular. In fact, our own Jill Nadeau has one in Watertown. Anyway, there's a really unique one in Deerbrook.
Thank you. Thanks for that lead-in.
Oh, my gosh.
Airbnb, this takes Airbnb to a completely different height, doesn't it?
It sure does. We got a World War II plane.
Yes. And hey, and that's, you know, with all this D-Day news and stuff like that, this this DC-3 Douglas Aircraft DC-3, the last one of these transports was built in 1945. There's 150 still flying today. What Larry's talking about here, for the folks who haven't seen this, is one of those rare DC-3s made its way to Deerbrook near Antigo due to a very entrepreneurial businessman up there who's got some unique places to stay. So Joe Drager, and that's a pretty big name around that area. The family has supplied LP gas forever. Joe heard about I got to back up here. He's got a treehouse that he rents out, okay, for a B&B, and it is an Airbnb. It's up in the air. It's all tricked out. He's got a refurbished barn. They rent that out. And he was kicking around the web, and he saw in Venezuela there was a sort of airplane kind of B&B. It really amounted to a cockpit and a couple of wings, and, you know, it gave the flavor of air travel. He said, what if we could have people really stay in an airplane? So he started looking around for a sizable one, and he located in Oshkosh at Basler's Conversions. They restored the DC-3, and the civilian version is C-47. Their military aircraft, the DC-3, to haul a lot of people around. He found one that was about meant for salvage. It wasn't going to be refurbished. He bought it, okay, had it trucked up north, and got a couple of his very handy guys together. Now, this old military aircraft flew in the Pacific Theater between Guam and Midway and Pearl Harbor. In October of 22, it became Joe's, got her on a flatbed, brought it to Antigo, and they're working on it in the warehouse. They've got this thing now rebuilt and looking spiffy new to specifications. It's up in the treetops. It's raised, and you can rent this thing out. It's got beds. It's got bathrooms. There's a deck on the outside with a couple of chairs and a gas grill. The propellers turn. He had to kind of sort of work those up out of ceiling fans. It's got lights all over it. People have come from as far away as Germany to spend a night in this plane. And it's got a lounge area. It really is something neat to see. My guess is there may be a little bit of a waiting period because in the story we met at least one pilot whose wife gifted him with a stay in this Airbnb. So the sky's the limit with creativity of the people in Wisconsin. Way cool.
It is really cool. That would be something, if you didn't know it was there and you came upon it, it would be quite a shock to the system almost.
How'd that plane land in the middle of the trees? I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, let's. And by the way, we're talking about the June-July issue of our Wisconsin magazine, and you guys come out how many times a year? You come out six, is it?
Six times a year, yeah. So every other month. So this is our June-July issue, and next up will be August-September. And prior to that, we had April-May, and here's some fun stories in that one too. But I better stay on task.
Well, one of the, my daughter and I visited a lavender farm in Door County and just loved the lavender farm, but I didn't quite go as far as this couple from Wautoma, I believe. Wautoma, they visited the fields in Door County as well.
Yeah, and we have covered that story before, the Door County. Specifically Washington Island, there are a couple of lavender farms up there.
Yep.
Have generated a lot of attention over the last 10 years, I would say. And I think they have a little bit more of a presence on the mainland in Door County, so people aren't limited by the ferry schedule. But, yeah, up in Washington Island, there's a couple of them. This couple from Wautoma, Nicole and Joe Lair, we're up visiting, like you and your daughter did, and we're taken with it so much that they got in the car and they're on the way home thinking, could we do something like that? They live on a family farm acreage there in Wautoma. They both have full-time jobs, though, you know, and it's going to take some work to establish an agricultural operation there. And they decided, you know what, let's go for it, because she is so taken, Nicole, by the fragrant flowers. I mean, how many people are? It's said to have medicinal and therapeutic benefits. You can consume it. It's believed to help with stress, anxiety, depression, insomnia, a lot of different things. But they're just beautiful flowers with a wonderful fragrance. And so they went ahead and did a whole bunch of study. You know, there's 45 different species of lavender and more than 450 cultivars. What's going to grow in this area? Well, you know, it's growing in Washington Island, but perhaps you've had enough horticulture people on there with their different maps and things. What's going to grow in the middle of the state?
Yeah.
And they came upon about 11 different cultivars that would work, and they trial and error, 250 plants each time. They're plugging them in and seeing what'll work. They learned early on there's a certain one that really needs some snow cover to make it through winter, and they lost a few plants learning that lesson when we had a thin snow winter here recently. But they're up and running and doing well. And Joe is working on the laborious part of it out in the fields, I would guess. And meanwhile, Nicole is coming up with products. She's cooking up in her kitchen, you know, facial toner, body butter, soaps, shower steamers, bath bombs, bouquets, sachets, anything you could put this perennial to use with, they're raising there. And, you know, they can devote maybe 4 hours a day to it or an hour or two a night. They got to work. So anyway, there's information online. They got tea and brownie mix, too. And you can do yoga in a lavender field. Larry, I'll meet you there, all right?
That sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan, Mike. Mike Vino, our guest today, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. And you can join in. Questions, comments, maybe a story suggestion. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Larry Mueller here for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Always great to have him come by to talk about what's going on in the magazine. And there are always some great stories and certainly a lot of wonderful photography as well. Bill and Ladysmith has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. I love the magazine. I read it as often as I can. I have a suggestion for you. I have been volunteering at our local library here in Ladysmith the past year, a little over a year, and I did not realize how many programs are actually put on for children, for adults, for community members. I think it would be doing the library system and also the state a good service. They're letting people know what everything that is involved, and
yeah, Bill, you are right. Libraries are the Wisconsin libraries are amazing. And Mike, I'm not sure. Have you done stories on Wisconsin libraries at all?
On libraries per se, no, we haven't. But Bill, you're on the right track. What's astonishing to me about libraries is now in the digital age, okay, when I think of libraries, I think of stacks and stacks and stacks of books and Carnegie and all the history. But now in the digital age, libraries, I believe, are really remain at the center of the community. They have so many different services, not only with what they lend out, the books, the magazines, the DVDs, different materials. There is no one more helpful in the world than a librarian, and I can say that because I cannot believe how many, when I was looking for a book, to what lengths some of these
yes.
librarians go to track that thing down in the interlibrary loan system around the nation. It's crazy. Sometimes I was working on an article here and there. Sometimes 2 months later, I'll get a phone call. We found your book. Well, I've already written that story, but I didn't have the heart to say, sorry, I don't need it anymore. And I went right down and picked it up, and I read it, by gosh, because someone's going to work that hard for me. It's got to be worth something. One of our neighbors up in the woods here in the town of Presque Isle, Pam Eschenbach, was a librarian at this smaller library for 34 years, and know her pretty well. And in this small library, there's, you know, the community's maybe 500 people for the whole township. They came together 15 years ago, I think, put a $600,000 renovation in there in this small town, including an elevator. I mean, there's barely any cars in this town. So, yeah, it is the center of the community and what good work they do. And, yeah, kids hour, kids activities, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Madison Library System. If you rip your pants, Mike, you can go to the main library and there's somebody there that'll sew your pants up for you.
Wow. How did you know I was gaining weight? Now, what about darning socks? I think I have maybe two or three deer hunting socks where there's still that my grandma did some darning on the toes, and she was born in 1913. Darn socks, I got to quit throwing them away. I got to learn how to do that.
Mike Beno, our guest. Questions, comments, and Bill from Ladysmith, you should write a story about the Ladysmith Library and send it off to Mike and see what he thinks, if he can use it. Appreciate it. You can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. You know, there's a hilarious story. Clara Neipert and I were laughing about it this morning about a boy's trip to Turtle Lake in northern Wisconsin.
So, Larry, when you were 15 years old, you didn't try to sneak any beer past your parents, did you?
I'm not talking about that. I've got a story to tell you, but I want to hear theirs first.
Okay. You know, I thought about that story this morning, the one you're talking about, and honestly, this happened in 1950. Now, the magazine has current stories as well as memories, but this is a memory that a man, Dave Caswell, now lives in Portland, Oregon, originally from the Madison area. He's carried this story around in his mind for 70 years, 75, 74 years. That's what it would be, 1950.
Oh, man.
Today. So he and his 15-year-old buddies, six of them, decided they really needed to go on a trip. I don't know why one of their parents went with us, but up in Turtle Lake, they had a cottage, Barron and Polk Counties, right at the edge of the county line there, Turtle Lake. And the boys, six of them, are going to go up there for a week. And the parents nod and say, "Yep, you can go up, guys. Unsupervised, we'll let you go there." And so they two of Bill's parents drive them up from Madison, Turtle Lake, 4 hours, and Mom saying, "Sing along, boys, sing the old song." "Oh, Mom, come on, you know, don't make the guys do that. Well, we'll play 20 questions then." "Oh, Mom." So they pull into the driveway at this cottage, and here's what their parents are going to be heading down the road. He kisses his parents goodbye quick. They're gone. Okay, they're gone. Now, we got a week of telling dirty jokes and fishing and smoking cigars and eating weenies and beans, and we're going to play cards, and, we're going to drink some beer, 15-year-olds. So six of them get in this old wooden leaky boat, and the parents are 10 minutes down the road. They're rowing across the lake to get to the general store up in Vacation Land, Wisconsin, for a little provender. They got some eggs and some maybe a little milk and a loaf of bread, but they didn't want to waste their money on too much of that junk. And so they bought about a case and a half of beer because one of the kids started shaving, and he looked a little older. So they sent him in to the old boy at the store, and they start rowing back across the lake. Well, they're heading right back to the cabin, and one guy in the boat says, "Hey, Kasia, is that your parents on the dock?" "Oh, what now?" Got him red-handed, almost. Mom's waving and saying, "Billy forgot here's his asthma pills. We brought them back." Yeah, Mom, leave them on the table. "What are we going to do here?" "No, you boy." So thinking quick, one guy says, "Here, grab this musky net." They load in the contraband, and they tie a rope on it, and they sink her down into the water and stand there hailing Mom, you know. And pretty soon, you know, they're sweating it, but she turns and leaves. "Okay, we love you, boys." Okay, got past that one. They go to pull up the contraband. And back in the days before nylon nets, what happened to those old musky nets, Larry? You used them too many years.
Oh, yeah. They got holes.
They tear. And, you know, how many fishermen has a horrible story about losing a trophy musky with it because they're too cheap to buy a new net? Well, yeah, that happened. Net ripped open. Everything went to the bottom. And so their plans were ruined. They went and got the biggest baits out of their tackle box with gang hooks and dragged the bottom, and they caught walleyes and northerns and all this stuff they didn't want. And
and they never caught they never got a beer.
They never got a beer, but really at the end, many, many years later, Mom says to him, hey, "Did you guys ever get that beer off the bottom of Turtle Lake?"
Oh, my gosh. It reminded me of a story of my own when I was a young man, but I was older than that. But staying with my parents, and they went away for a week's vacation or 2 week vacation, and I was left at home and decided to have a party. A beer and pop party, but a little of both, but all in cans. And they were coming home on Sunday, and so Saturday, I had the party Friday night, and Saturday morning, I got up, and I just took all the cans of beer and pop empties and put them in the garage. And a little later, I hear a car pulling in the driveway, and it was my mom and dad coming home a day early. and he opened, and I had kind of, the cans and that were all piled up against the garage door. And when he hit the garage door opener, it came up and the cans came tumbling out.
I bet you they were sorry they missed that party.
I think they were laughing so hard. Oh man.
Busted.
Busted. Oh man. Well, you know, moving on from that story.
Put you on the spot. I won't get invited back on this show anymore.
I really had a wonderful time in Bayfield last Friday. And we were broadcasting from Bayfield in Bloom to kind of kick it off for their week of celebration. And then I open your magazine and I see pretty remote restaurant called Air Haven. It used to be anyway. It was on one of the Apostle Islands right off of Bayfield. Some people might think this would be an unusual place for a restaurant to spring up. And I thought the story of how that restaurant got going was really cool.
Yeah, thank you for that. And Bayfield and Bloom, Bayfield, what a treasure. And this time of year, when you take the highway north of there and around the corner by the Victorian homes and start heading north, there are so many spring plantings that just pop up.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. But, we're talking about the Apostle Islands, National Lakeshore, and Wisconsin's most northern eating place once was there. Now, this is all national parkland at this point, and it's a treasure. There's only five national lakeshores in the nation. They're right up there with the national parks. It's a kind of a relative. Apostle Islands and Indiana Dunes, Sleeping Bear Dunes, Pictured Rocks. But we have the Apostles, 22 islands there. And a lady who grew up there, Julie Norris from Ashland, she sent in a little while ago, you suggested Bill should write up a little story for us. This is how most of these stories land here. Julie grew up on the Apostles in summertime at her grandparents' place, Wisconsin's most northern eating place. Rocky Island is about 1,100 acres. It's on the far northern edge of the archipelago there. You can it's part of the park. You can go camping on four or five rough sites today. But you're gonna, if you do with your kayaks, you're gonna land right at a docking area, which handled this restaurant. Julie's grandparents in the 1930s, her grandfather was a commercial fisherman, whitefish, lake trout, and he also guided people fishing among the islands. And then as he was guiding people out there, they'd get hungry. And so they thought, well, we could feed them a little something. So his wife and he made a little place there where they could have coffee and some pie, homemade pie. Well, that caught on pretty well. And so they decided, you know, more and more people heard about it. Pretty soon the excursion boat from Bayfield, taking people through all the islands, started stopping. Well, they couldn't handle that with one little icebox. So they built themselves a cottage, I guess it'd be a dining hall, really. You could seat 100 people. And he would bring people out to the island. Eventually, he became the excursion boat captain. And they were bringing out 100 people to come out there and eat. I don't think Grandma liked that very well, because she was getting up at 5 a.m. to bake about 10 pies and bake all the bread. So they hired help. And they had sandwiches, and they had homemade bread, and they had fresh lake trout and whitefish with scalloped potatoes and coleslaw. And Julie, the writer, sent in pictures of her at age 2 sitting on the dock, and also old placemats from this restaurant from, you know, from the 50s, and you're out there on the northernmost edge of the Apostles, and the storms had come roaring in, and the staff, they'd have to hunker down in these little cottages and ride out these fierce storms and then clean up the beach because a whole bunch of stuff had come in. And this was where she spent her summers. And the waitresses came back year after year because they were like family. And, in, you know, all good things come to an end. And this came to an end for a good reason. In 62, Gaylord Nelson, the governor, made the push to preserve this these islands in this place. And Congress named it a national lakeshore in 1970, became parks. And little by little, the people who owned this land, they had lifetime leases, and little by little, as they went away, then the park took over. They did it in a very humane way. So in 74, Rocky Island Air Haven kind of came to an end. But the family still goes out to this island every year to tell the new ranger all the history, where we stayed, where what this dock did, where we cleaned the fish, all those kind of things. And it's this kind of unusual stuff and traditions and stories that's so special about Wisconsin, and we're very lucky here to be able to tell these stories.
Yeah, it's a great, great story, and I loved reading it. Our guest today, Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Some emails coming in here, Mike, and maybe we can comment on them. Owen emailed, just reminding listeners that Cornucopia will be having its Lupin Festival this coming Saturday.
Okay.
All sorts of events, garage sales, music, amazing food. It's a kickoff to the Cornucopia concert series that happens at the coffee shop, deck, and lawn. Subsequent concert events are going to be held every Thursday evening at 6 for the rest of the summer. Some dude named Owen will be playing the keyboard from noon till 3. Just coming off an interview last month on Robin Washington's Simply Superior show. So Cornucopia Lupin Festival.
Corny is a wonderful place to go to. It's just up the road from where we've been talking about in Bayfield. Mercer as well on June 8th, they have their Mercer Lupin June Fest. So there's blossoming lupins in Iron County, and they've got a path for bicyclists to take and go and see the all the different colors as these plants are popping up in June. It starts at Carroll Park in Mercer on June 8th.
And Laurel emailed us, Central Wisconsin, west of Oshkosh and east of Wautoma is Red Granite, and they hold a community market in Veterans Park right on Route 21. Market's fun, including Tai Chi, local artisans of various crafters, of course, food vendors, and music running every Saturday from 8 to 3 all summer into October. And you had a nice photo in the book of Main Street in Oshkosh. Shoppers Throw on in the central
in the photo essay.
Yeah, in the photo essay.
Sure, we've got a full page worth of it is what we have. Main Street in Oshkosh. Their farmers market is huge there, and that happens Saturday from June 1st. Right through to October 26, two downtown blocks, a lot going on. And I'm glad you mentioned Red Granite, too, because my cousin Susie's from there, and she'd shoot me if I didn't mention her.
Oh, man. Sharon in Lake Tomahawk. We'll go to you. Hi, Sharon.
Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Okay. You were talking about different events to do in different towns. We have snowshoe baseball all summer, which starts on June 17th and goes until August 26th, every Monday.
Snowshoe baseball in the summer?
In the summer, you bet.
Wow. Larry, have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
You know what? They will let you play. You just go talk to Jeff, the guy who puts this thing on. And, I mean, he grooms the mound, he grooms the infield, all of that. And if you ask to be put in the lineup, he will give you 47-inch tails, snowshoes to put on your feet, and you'll get out there. And the secret is, don't take off running like you're in a track meet coming out of the blocks. Shuffle. You got to learn to shuffle. And at my age, I shuffle anyway. Sharon, do you work there?
I am the clerk in the town of Lake Tomahawk, yes.
Do you bake pies for this thing?
I'm not a baker. I can buy them, but I don't bake them.
The ladies in town, how many pies would you say they create before this Monday deal?
They at least do 50, 60 pies every Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're coming from everyone in the town and every household. And I could buy a slice of 53 different kind of pies and eat them right there, I bet.
You betcha.
Oh, man. Larry, homemade pie, you get to play, wear snowshoes in the summertime. I mean, how can you beat it?
I don't think you can. Sharon, thank you very much for calling. I played a lot of ball in my life, but I never played with snowshoes on.
What's interesting about this is it's gone on for decades, and the town does not have any school system, okay? It's one of the small rural towns up here, and so usually, you know, the school events, the games and the proms and all those homecomings, that's kind of the central to these smaller communities. When you don't have that, well, they've got a little rallying thing here with claim to fame with the snowshoe baseball. And these are some good players. They are. I mean, regular softball players. And now on 4th of July, for the last few years, they've got some friends. A lot of people from friends from Illinois will come up and to the Lakes region here. It's not far from Minocqua. And these guys will come and they will camp or wherever they can, stay in the yards of these ball players from up here. They're the Chicago All-Stars and they're City League players from down there. And they'll play against the Snowhawks up here in a game, and they'll, you know, wearing snowshoes. And the Snowhawks are good players, and they kind of prevail in snowshoes. Then they take the snowshoes off on 4th of July and play these guys for real. And it is some 3,000 people come and watch this. It's
wow.
Really interesting and fun. It's always a lot of fun.
Oh, man. Sharon, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very, very much. Mike Bino, our guest editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Larry Mueller here talking with Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, about all of the events and things that go on and are reported on in the magazine. Always great to have Mike come by. I love talking with him. Alan in Silver Lake has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Alan.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everything today?
It's wonderful. Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, Mr. Bino, I want to congratulate you on an excellent magazine.
Well,
I look forward to every issue of that magazine. It's just fantastic. I've given several as gifts in 112 Library in northern Wisconsin. But I have a question on the submission of vintage postcards.
Okay.
I sent about 30 or 40 to your location, but they were returned as being... unusable because I did not have a direct connection to any of the people appearing on those cards. And I was wondering why. I thought they would be very historical.
Yeah.
But evidently not.
Well, and what you're putting your finger on is something that we run into quite often with, let's say, a photographer has a whole bunch of a pretty big portfolio of work, and that person dies, okay? And usually those pictures are very general in nature, and also sometimes there's not a whole lot of information with them. And so we try to tell a little bit more of a story, tied to families and people here in the state. Now, there is, for example, our vintage view section. I'm looking on page 78, 79. We have, it's all black and white pictures, and we are looking for pictures that people send in, and they can identify some of the folks that are in there and say, that's my uncle, that's my grandmother, that's my grandfather on the far right, et cetera. It's for us, it's not quite enough to have it be a look at the early days. What we want is to keep the personal connections of the people there and maybe a memory or two and have it be tied to families, friends. It just personalizes it a little bit more, and that's just the approach we take. Your pictures may well be very sharp or good ones, really, but we want to take it a little further into having it be a little more personalized.
Yeah, I like that. The photos, they're great. That, for example, the ones you have in this issue. But the stories, the little stories that they tell about the people in the photos, I think is what really makes it interesting.
Yeah, it's more of a make. The cover says Wisconsin. That's a place, okay? But the magazine's really more about the people. And so we try to tell a little bit more of that.
Alan, thank you for calling. I hope that helped. Linda in Edgerton had sent an email wondering why they can't post picks anymore. They haven't been able to send in a pick for Pick of the Day in a long time.
Oh, on Facebook, Pick of the Day. Well, I wish somebody... Could you call Mr. Zuckerberg for us? So, Picture of the Day. We've had, Larry, I know Wisconsin Public Radio had quite a big Facebook presence for a while and went on to other things. It took us a little while to do that as well, only because one day we suddenly could not access our account. We had built it up to about 31,000 followers, and people would put on their Picture of the Day. We'd invite people to do that, and people would comment. A nice little community building thing, you know, and nothing wrong with that at all. And so we liked that. Then one day, and Wendy here in our office could had them scheduled out. You can automatically schedule them for a week, and they just stopped. And went, we contacted Facebook, worked at it, and kept hitting a dead end. And finally, a dead end was hit when somebody at Facebook said, send us a copy of your driver's license, Mr. Bino. And I said, no. At some point, you got to protect yourself when you're in the internet realm. And that didn't seem very prudent to me. So we have a much smaller Facebook presence, but we're not putting much emphasis on it. So we would love to do it, but somehow the plug got pulled on it. On that account.
Yeah, that's too bad. I wanted to say, Nancy and Sheldon emailed us. The Rusk County Museum has up to 20 buildings and exhibits, including a new Anishinaabe exhibit housing an authentic wigwam located in Geodesic Dome and on their museum campus. They also house Wisconsin Plow Museum, open every weekend from 12:30 to 4:30, free admission, with their season running from Memorial Day through Labor Day. And this Saturday, they have a great opening of their new sidewalk, connecting every building exhibit and honoring the 10-year-old student from Bruce, Cal Meinke, who won the putt-putt car naming contest.
I love that stuff. Brat Fry's car naming contest. This is so Wisconsin. Where is that community again?
It's in Rusk County. The Rusk County Museum. It has up to 20 buildings and exhibits.
Wow. Wow, I didn't realize it was that extensive. They've got the Native American Anishinaabe there. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that might make a nice little story for somebody to write for you.
Yeah, we invite people to send in their stories in letter form. If a little bit of editing is needed, that's fine. We can do that. But people send us stories with heart in it. We do our best to keep the heart in that story and help them tell it.
Yeah. Well, page 75 of your magazine, we had the electric lines explosions story, which I had to mention that today. I read that. I couldn't believe it.
That's one of a couple of Chippewa Falls stories entries. We ask people to, we prompt them and give them ideas what kind of subjects to send to us. My most embarrassing moment, and people, after enough years have gone by, they can finally smile about things like that. But a reader, Joy Dobos from Chippewa Falls, was talking about her birthday in 83. In the office, people she worked with gave her a nice balloon bouquet, silvery, kind of Mylar, I would guess. There are five of them. And she wanted to bring them home and show her kids. So she puts them in her car and rolls down the window and fights these five things in there because they're helium balloons and they're banging around. And she gets them in the car. And pretty soon they're pummeling the back of her head because of the way she's got the windows set up. So she needs to change that around. So she's cracks some different windows as she's driving, pulls into the gas station in Chippewa. And also she goes out to pump her gas. Her balloons are gone. So she yells to the gal at the next island, "Hey, did you see my balloons?" She says, "They went that away." She looks, oh, no. She goes running after her balloons. They're flying off, and finally they caught on a power pole behind the gas station, and she's standing there wondering what she's going to do. And these sort of metallic balloons are whipping around in the wind, and one caught a hot wire up on this post and explodes in the alley there behind the gas station. Boom. Oh, no. And pretty soon they're all popping, bang, 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 and landing in pieces. And she's standing there looking at it with these ribbons tangled up there. And as this last balloon dies, the electric lines start exploding, flying off the pole. And this is happening right down the alley, one pole after another pole after another pole. There are about third or fourth of them. Explosions going on behind this gas station, electrical. She's looking at this stuff. She runs back to her car, and she sees the lights are knocked out in the gas station, and then she hears sirens. So she rushes to the police station, and there's, in the dark, officers flying around in the dark, not knowing what's going on. And, you know, and she said, I know what happened. I know. Okay. What happened? She gives them all the info. The squad cars and fire trucks and everything's flying around. They let her go. Monday morning on the front page of the Chippewa Herald Telegram, not only did they report the incident, they named her. And it knocked out power for the north end of that town, plus the town of Tilden nearby. And, so this is, on Tuesday, the next day, her friend sent her another bouquet to replace them, but she was a little more careful with these.
Oh, man, that's a great story. The other story I wanted to quickly mention, we just got a minute or so, the Will Eske Band, which I have seen perform so many times, and so has Jill. And I forget their title now,
The Yankee Dutchman Solar Powered Precision Marching Band.
Oh, they are so much fun to watch.
And because it's not so unexpected?
Yeah. I mean, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff while they're marching along and playing.
They were founded in 56 as a regular old polka band called the Yankee Dutchman, and Will Esk, who founded them, wanted to put on a little more of a show. So they went ahead, and they're free to get their own uniforms going. They will play for a while, and as they take a break, they all lie down on the ground. They'll get up and start playing again in a tightening circle till they never miss a beat.
You know what? And we have to miss a beat. Thank you so much. Mike Bino, get a copy of Take a Look at Our Wisconsin Magazine. I'm Larry Mueller for Wisconsin Public Radio News.